You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
I got so many neat things for you. It's really cool. This guy named Josh, and he's doing his part during the coronavirus by reading families' children's books while they're quarantined. He's an actor, and he's on Twitter right now. This comes on the same day that, in a big movie was coming out that I was going to talk about and all this stuff. It's called I Am Patrick. It's an amazing movie. Three different actors, I believe I got that right, three different actors are portraying different stages of Patrick's life. Him growing up as a young man, taken into captivity, taken to the barbaric nation of Ireland there and working as a slave. But he was out by himself tending the sheep and stuff. He heard from God, and then he went back. He escaped. God led him to escape. He went back. He ended up in a monastery, ended up in the church, being trained. He's a bishop now, and he wants to go back to Ireland. And the church is like, no, because it's fruitless. It's useless to go there. That's how bad they were. Does the name Nineveh ring a bell? If you know that story in the Bible, check that out if you don't. Exactly. Very similar to that. Very similar. One person. Although when he went back, I'm sure he had a crew of people. That's what people say now. So he goes back to Ireland, and basically his evangelism style was to visit each tribe, and they would be in their own little villages and stuff. Very difficult to traverse over the countryside in those days. You know, you had paths through the woods and things. But he would go and get to meet them, and then he would help them out in some way. And it would show that, yes, he is a true friend. And then he would start talking to them about Jesus and what he had done for them. And that's the way he evangelized Ireland. And, of course, he did. pretty amazing story there. But Josh is just doing his part. I was just thinking about the movie coming out, you know, and we're not going to be sitting in theaters this. But I guess Disney's Frozen 2, they moved it up. Anyway, you can watch it at home. That's the thing. I don't know what the I Am Patrick's going to do. But Josh is doing his part in reading families' children's books. So that'll give you a break because you can connect with him. And I'll post this. It was an article on Reddit. I've been doing been looking at a lot of sources over the last few days and stuff like that. Forgive me, but just kind of going through all this stuff is kind of hitting me. But I just thought that was really cool. And that'll get multiplied over certain areas. I had a friend of mine who I haven't seen in a while, but I know that he and his family, they live out on a pretty big plot of land, and they homeschool the four kids, I believe, now and stuff. And they're doing some amazing things, like having their own bees, you know, and they got the garden going and things like that. So he was kind of joking about, oh, wow, we have to stay in our homes, you know. Well, that'll be unusual, right? But they have this plan for, like, every day. They have the time that they get up and they do breakfast and certain things. And the kids go through a regimen every day, a structured day, I should say. It's a structured day, and playtime is built into that, and creative time is built into that. And he was posting it out there. He said, this is what we do. Maybe it'll help you. And I just thought right away this weekend, as soon as it was announced, you know, we're not going to school for a couple of weeks anyway. And I have a neighbor she's like freaking out. She's like, is it 2 weeks? I said, yeah. But people are stepping up, like Josh and stuff. And I'll post that article on the Cup of Joe Morning Show Facebook page, and I'll do everything I can to try to help you and your family out. We get through this and make it I just think it's really great. People are just stepping up.
The Sound of Life.
If you go to the doctor's office, you got a regularly scheduled appointment. Whoever took you there, if somebody took you there, probably going to wait in the car. You'll have your temperature tested. You know, just want to make sure things are in place. Citizens are stepping up, though. Helping out each other, because we're kind of wondering, and don't do this. Don't work yourself up into a what if frenzy. People calling 911 because what are we going to do with toilet paper? It's like, relax. Take a deep breath. Boy, that song Breathe by Johnny Dyer is taking on new meaning, right? One writer posted a sign-up sheet someone put up in their elevator offering to help the sick and elderly by getting them food. I said, people will step up. Believe me, I read this wonderful article, which I'll share with you, of a woman in Wuhan, China. All right. The epicenter where all this started. I think you got to remember is they're a city of over 11 million people. We don't know what that's like. I mean, what's New York City? 3.5 million or something? I mean, we just don't know what that's like. I never heard of Wuhan, China before that. It's just, and of course, they were trying to suppress it. Doctor there was trying to get the word out. He said, oh, this thing is spread. It's very contagious and all this. Anyway, but that's all another story. But it was such an encouraging thing from this woman. A very famous person out in the news, conservative, but I won't drop his name for you. He said, here's the things to do today. Number one, call 5 friends, check in to see how they're doing. Number two, find out if an elderly neighbor or relative needs any grocery pharmacy goods and bring them over. Number three, buy a gift card from a local store for later use to tide them over. Just so the store will have something right. They were saying go to your favorite diner, restaurant, or whatever, and they're hurting. They are really, really hurting. My son was kind of filling me in because around town he's got some, I mean, where the manager kind of knows where he comes in and stuff, and the manager at one of the diners was like, I guess he was so grateful he came in. He just gave him the meal. We were like, it kind of defeats the purpose, but he was so grateful. But he was telling him, he said, it's really, really hurting. They say, go get a gift certificate for using later, just to give them the money now so they can have it. See what I'm saying? And so this is a buy a gift card for you. Go for a walk. It's pretty good. I love that photograph of the Pope out walking around as by himself as he could be, you know, with an car behind him and some people behind him and stuff, but he took a prayer walk around Italy. You know, things change and things get a little more serious. They get ratcheted up a little couple of notches about, you know, you kind of feel like Noah, you know, when it started to rain. Okay, me and you, God, right? It's just we're good, right? Okay, we're gonna get through this, right? It's kind of the way we feel. The Italian tenor Maurizio Marchini was serenading Florence from his balcony. I guess a lot of people ended up, he was the one that started all the serenading from, man, he's good. I mean, the rest of them, but it was great. It was just incredible. One of the doctors, Dr. Albert Moeller, said, we are, after all, talking about matters of life and death, the gift of human life and what it means to care for our neighbors. See, that's the thing. We are really saving the lives of other people. You may say to yourself, well, I'm not high risk. I can get through this. Well, they say it's going to be like a bad cold for a couple of days. That's you. But you can certainly carry it to someone else. Think about how selfless you have to be to say, I'm not the one that's going to be greatly affected, but because somebody I dearly love could turn out to be, I'm going to do what they're asked. We are confronted with difference between selfishness and altruism. Indeed, the coronavirus raises just about every question imaginable, given its unsurpassed urgency. Very interesting. Very interesting in the times we're living in. I know you're going to do the right thing, and then come spring, it'll be incredible.
Listener-supported, The Sound of Life.
This has been going around, and maybe you've seen it, but I thought I'd share it. I got all kinds of stuff to share with it. It's pretty amazing. What would, you know, C.S. Lewis, and I was thinking about people who live through certain milestone eras that change the way we do things. The Great Depression, 9/11, actually, might have been one. We all went back to church right after 9/11 for a couple of months. And everybody in New York City was so grateful to see you. You came across that bridge. They were like, hey, somebody coming in. And not so much, seems like now anymore, but it's been a while, you know. And certainly during times of great uncertainty, it is easy for your mind to start building up those fears and things, right? You know what I'm talking about. Great uncertainty. And you start doing scenarios and stuff in your minds and things like that. So you want to be smart, obviously. You want to be kind of informed. I mean, you know, a little bit like that, you know. But mostly you want to be encouraged. All right. There was an appropriate time during World War II. And you know, it's interesting because I think about the Queen of England. Most of the time I think about her sneaking in the back door of the church so she won't cause, just, you know, it's pretty nice. driving herself to church. Anyway, that's my image I have. But the more you know about her, she's a fascinating person. And yes, she's a human being. So I'm sure she's made mistakes. I'm sure she has as the queen. But she went through World War II as a teenager, young lady, and doing all that they did. Now, they're in England being bombed. The only thing that kept them probably the God's grace and the fact that they had the early stages of radar they could detect, but the Germans flying over couldn't detect the poles and the wire strung across them at the perimeter of that island. And it helped a great deal in providing. It's just a miracle that England wasn't obliterated during that. But C.S. Lewis went on the radio and was talking to people on the radio. What is he going to say? And then basically after World War II, and then we got into the late 40s, and of course the atomic era began, and it was a scary time. I tell kids and stuff. I said we used to do H bomb drills in our school, crawl under the desk or go down to the basement. We had fallout shelters. It was the most horrifying thing ever. They had them for sale at the local gas station. Really, you think I'm going to go down underground in that thing, the size of my bedroom, with my whole family and a bunch of cans of soup, and we're going to live in it? Just the idea of it, you know, it was a lot of tension, like now, kind of. But there was that whole thing, and he did a collection of works called The Present Concerns. This is C.S. Lewis. He said, and I quote, "In one way, we think a great deal too much of the atomic bomb." Insert whatever you want there. He said, "How are we going to live in an atomic age?" I'm tempted to reply, "Why, as you would have lived in the 16th century when the plague visited London almost every year, or as you would have lived in a Viking age when raiders from Scandinavia might land and cut your throat any night, or indeed as you are already living in an age of cancer, an age of syphilis, an age of paralysis, an age of air raids, an age of railway accidents, an age of mortar accidents." In other words, do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. Believe me, dear sir or madam, you and all whom you love were already sentenced to death before the atomic bomb was invented, and quite a high percentage of us were going to die in unpleasant ways. We had indeed one very great advantage over our ancestors, anesthetics, but we have that still. It is perfectly ridiculous to go about whimpering and drawing long faces because the scientists have added one more chance of painful and premature death to a world which already bristled with such chances, and in which death itself was not a chance at all, but a certainty. It doesn't mince words, C.S. Lewis. You know. This is the first point to be made, and the first action to be taken is to pull ourselves together. If we are all going to be destroyed by an atomic bomb, let that bomb come when it comes, finding us doing sensible and human things, praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, chatting to our friends over a pint and game of darts, not huddled together like frightened sheep and thinking about bombs. They may break our bodies. A microbe can do that. Ooh, prophetic. But they need not dominate our minds. C.S. Lewis is not the only one with wide words in the middle of a panic, but those were his. May they bless you today.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
Might as well get up, do something.
The Sound of Life.
You need to entertain the children now, and you want to make it educational. May I suggest one of the first things on the list would be how toilet paper is made. You have to do the one narrated by Brooke Moore. He's my guy right there. I watched all those Discovery Channel programs, how it's made, because Brooke Moore is the one that narrated it, and he does an awesome job. To be able to even talk about how toilet paper is made, as many sentences as he did, is just astounding. He ought to get a medal, and maybe he will. I don't know. But to make it that interesting, is just off the charts to be able. And there's a big confusion still to this day, because the one that's that the Discovery Channel shows how toilet paper is made, which is in a whole series of things of how it's made. It's fascinating to me. I'm probably the only one, because that's the reason it went off the air. They lost their funding because they were like, I don't care how it's made. We don't want to know how the sausage is made, Mom. Just cook it up. Bring it over here. But since toilet paper was in the news, I thought I'd watch it. Because basically I want to know if they use trees or do they use recycled stuff. You know how you go in the restroom, like you're on the throughway or something, you know, when you run in there. A lot of public restrooms, they've replaced the old paper towel rolls, which are obviously made out of recycled, I hope you know that, recycled products, whatever that may be. But with the air blow dryers, and now they're saying, you know, they're just blowing germs all over the place. Now it takes on a new meaning. And now you're like, oh, did we bring towels that we can wipe our hands with? But I just thought, I said, you know, I just don't think you're saving trees by using the paper, because I think these trees have long been used. And that's what they were saying there. It's all recycled material, which there has to be. It's quite a process to get all that, as you can well imagine, to get recycled. I mean, I looked at my recycle bin, and I thought, I wouldn't want to have to be responsible for cleaning that up and making paper out of that. But that's a lot of paper nowadays. There was a president back in the 80s, president of the United States, who made a law that if you made stationery for the government, it had to be recycled, or at least 80% recycled. And it changed the way paper was made. And so they make it out of recycled. Now, they may use, one video that I saw making the toilet paper was they use pine trees. But most of the companies have their own forest, if you will, of trees, you know. So they grow their own and, you know, and then they... It's renewable resource. Fascinating. But what I took away from it, this is just funny to talk about it with a straight face. What I took away from it is this. Don't panic. Now, I saw one woman yesterday in a grocery store that I was in grab a big bundle, about as big as she was, and try to put that thing in her cart. I may have been the last one. But I'm sure there's a truck on the way. Because believe you me, they are cranking out a lot of rolls at a time of toilet paper. If you just, I'm telling you, have your kids watch that, how toilet paper is made. And then they can talk intelligently about it. And now I'm sure that that truck, and it takes about 10 minutes to make enough toilet paper to load up that tractor trailer truck and head it out. I'm sure it is on the way. So rest easy.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the sound of life.
I realize in this new era that we're in, hopefully temporarily, you could just slide into like being on vacation all the time. I've heard about that in places that can happen, especially in the Caribbean. I used to know a guy ever so briefly who did some sailing in the Caribbean, or is it the Caribbean? Anyway. But he made some interesting observations. I thought they were pretty genius about the people who lived there and stuff. And he said, you have to be very careful because the proper mix of food and drink and sun and relaxation and all that stuff. He said, I've seen people just slide right down into oblivion. And I said, wow, that's very interesting. I never heard that about that, you know. But I digress. Powerful letter from a Wuhan girl, self-described, living in Hong Kong. She said, right now, my close family is all under lockdown in my hometown, the epicenter of this epidemic. She said, I worry for their safety, their health, and their mental well-being. And they worry, too, that I'm worried about them. See what I'm saying? I'm sure anyone living far away from their parents can relate to this funny cycle of love. But she said one thing to remember, please do not put up a barrier between us and Chinese people. She said it really illustrates that we're all part of this humanity. We're all part of an organism. And the Apostle Paul wrote it, you know, we're one body together. And there's all different types. I mean, he's trying to illustrate how we fit together, even though we may not think we're as important as somebody else. We are very much needed. but I thought it was a good idea. I also read this really cool letter from a woman living in Wuhan, China. And she said, what's happened because of the lockdown is truly astounding for me. She said, I hear birds outside my window. I never heard them before. She said, you know, spring is in the air. And she said, because, and this is true, this is happening in other cities too, in China, because nobody's going anywhere, there's a lockdown of factories and things, the air pollution has decreased and gone down dramatically. And she said, I can see blue sky. And I'm learning to appreciate the sounds of spring happening. Think about that. Never realized that before. It's like somebody going out, say, into the Adirondacks, camping or something, where there's no light for miles, no artificial light, no street lights. And it's dark, and the stars that you see, you just stand there and look. It is awe-inspiring. That is the definition, I think, of awe-inspiring. I always want to go out west above 10,000 feet elevation and check it out and see it. This is unbelievable. But she was in the things that she heard and observed simply because it got quiet and clear. Was that really cool?
A great way to start your day.
Go ahead. Make my day.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show. The sound of life.
Someone has said, well, we're kind of gone back in time. It's the way things used to do. You know, kids used to be around the house and around home, and parents did and stuff. You know, the whole family was kind of together and stuff more. And now, I mean, you know, we've done about a day or two of it, and people are like, I'm going out of my mind. You know, teachers should get $1 billion a year. Which, that said, okay, that's one thing. That's a whole other thing. But thank you for participating in that. I like the comment early on that said, so basically, we're doing this for a generation that is at risk. Most of the people who have had this virus and who have lost their lives have been 70 or over, or had respiratory problems to begin with, or some other problem, health problem to begin with. So basically, we are going through all of this for them. This is really pretty cool and admirable. It really is. But things are different a lot of times, and it hits you all of a sudden. The look on people's faces as they were coming up to the store in Albany was kind of funny, and I'm sure we had the same look on our face when we came in and then realized, why is the line outside? It's never outside the store. They normally just jam everybody in there. I'm talking about Trader Joe's. That was the first time I'd ever been there. So my daughter was really excited to take my wife and I there and go shopping. They're known for their gluten-free line of sweet products. No getting around it, man. I made out. I'm telling you. I'm going to blow up like a beach ball. Anyway. So it'd be the only person that came through the virus like, wow, most people were at home exercising. You were just home eating gluten-free donuts and cupcakes and stuff. Anyway, so the line was outside, and they had a limit of 50 people. I think it was 50 people inside the store, which is sparse. But I'll tell you, because waiting outside, it could have been a lot worse, you know, but it was overcast. But you got a jacket on anyway, you know, put my hat on and all that. It wasn't too bad. The line was moving, and we cheered as somebody came out. Yay! You made it! And all that. But they really had it down. They had a greeter outside. They had a couple of them, really. They were outside with you. They had a person who was disinfecting the carts, wiping them down, and then putting them in a line in the store. So when you went in, they said, take the cart that is furthest away from you, because it's been sitting there the longest with the disinfectant on it. Everybody was real impressed with that. That was pretty amazing. And, of course, to be in a store, which is normally just a zoo, which I can very well see why if you be in it, you know. And they make it a lot of fun. The music, they play island music. I don't know whatever to describe, how to describe it, but you kind of feel like it's a little vacation when you're in there. And I thought, what a great experience. And, of course, I'm sure the sparse population made it all that much better, you know. But people were very nice to each other and stuff, which is probably a little bit unusual, I think. I think it is. But I tell you, my daughter was right about that. I mean, we found this one certain section. I just kind of went nuts on the gluten-free. So I had the best bagel. I mean, I haven't had a bagel in years. And, you know, bread products without gluten, whew, as some people say, they need to put that gluten back in there because I don't know what's... It needs it. I don't know what it is, but boy, we need that really bad. But this bagel was, man, God bless the person that developed that and making those out there in high demand, too. They really are. So I was very thankful that I buttered one of those up and toasted this morning. It was pretty amazing. And you didn't. You did not.
You didn't see anything.
No, you.
The sound of life.
He's at it again, time and time again. I didn't really recognize him. Didn't name sounded kind of familiar, but then when you find out that I know he's been on the news probably 60 minutes and stuff because they're all talking to him. He's been to Haiti in 2010, doing food there. He founded World Food Day and the World Central Kitchen. He's a chef. The World Central Kitchen is a coalition of chefs to assist in relief to places in need. In 2017, he went to Puerto Rico. That's probably, and I'm thinking I saw him there. I mean, not personally, but, you know, on the news because of the hurricanes. His whole thing is to set up food distribution. He's doing an amazing job. What, you know, here's somebody who doesn't have to do that. He's now going to work to ensure people can continue to eat during this coronavirus global pandemic. All right, so what's he doing? Well, Sunday, the chef announced on Twitter that all of his restaurants in Washington, D.C. are now closed till further notice. All right. He has reached out to Travel and Leisure to say that Beefsteak in DuPont Circle and George Washington University will be open for online orders. However, some of his spaces are being transformed into community kitchens to offer food for purchase. He said, all my restaurants in the D.C. area are closed till further notice here at a Think Food Group. Safety of employees and guests is top priority. Some restaurants will transform into community kitchens to offer to-go lunches for those who need a meal. All right. Important news right there from Chef Jose Andres. Restaurants are shutting down, including America Eats Tavern. Some names that I can't pronounce, according to the news source there in Washington, D.C., a lot of places, of course, have. We went in a place yesterday. It's kind of a place that's known for its takeout. A lot of people take out, but they have tables and a lot of people sit and enjoy, which we would have certainly done. I kind of kidded and said, what happens if you bring your own table? He said, I have no idea. I have no idea. I'm just trying to comply with the law, man. I'm doing the best I can. I don't know what's going on. It's kind of what we're all trying to do, isn't it? Love to hear from you how you're coping. I just would. I'd just be kind of neat. All right. He said, we're all in this together in this fight, and we will win. And it is kind of a fight on a lot of different levels, isn't it? Spiritually, emotionally, all right? And he said, if you're in need of food, restaurants will be open. Food purchase meals from noon to 5 daily. They operate out of the side doors. You can help. A lot of places are doing that. And I was surprised at the number of people and places that are jumping up and saying, we're going to get responsibility for kids that aren't in school that need food, breakfast and lunch. That's what they're doing. So it's really pretty cool. My son had an interesting experience. He, because he works in and around this town and village, particular place, and they, you know, they like to eat at the same places. I'm the same way. He gets that from his dad, I guess. You know, if I know a place and I really like it, it's very hard to get me away from that a lot of times. And so there's a Mexican place right in the village that he likes. I'll just throw that out there. And then there's a diner, and I'm on the outskirts. And obviously he's been in there a lot. Because they got special seating one Mother's Day. We were standing out there waiting, and the manager saw him. My son. He saw my son. He goes, oh, hey, come on in. Come over here. I'll get you a table, all this, you know. Well, a couple of days ago, he goes in there to eat, and he said their business is really hurting, of course. And, of course, now, this was before you couldn't have crowds. People just voluntarily staying away. And then the funny thing, I mean, I just thought it was, God bless him. You know, then he gives my son the lunch on the house.
The sound of life.
Well, she's all bubbly barista. Of course, they're supposed to be, but she really is. She's doing fantastic. Her name is Sierra Morton. And she said, and by the way, she works at a place called La La Land Kind Cafe. It's her real name. She said, I'd be homeless if I wasn't here working. Okay, so there's something up right there. I mean, that's kind of obvious, right? If I wasn't here working, I might be. But she said, if this light never came into my life, I would be suffering from depression. This is a coffee shop in Dallas, Texas, and it has become a safe haven for foster kids who have grown out of the system. That is a big problem. There are over 1,200 youth that have aged out of the system last year. Of course, it's Texas. I mean, it's a big state, but, you know, like New York, a lot, probably very comparable. She said, or the owner said, the owner of La La Land said, "We're not in the business of coffee. We're definitely in the business of kindness." Her name is Francois. I guess that's he, Francois. Created a program where foster youth learn how to make it in the real world. And so far, he's hired 9 kids. And you may think, 9 out of that many? But, you know, you do what you can. You do your part. It cuts into the profits. He said, there's a balance in life, right? We have a duty to our society to help the ones who are in need, right? Wow. Getting a hold of that? Sierra was placed with a foster. Well, I want to give you her background. It's pretty bad. But she said, "I'm trying to push it behind me. I want to move forward, but everything won't go away. Here's a place I can call home. And the best part of that is I have a support system." She has a family, if you will, that she can trust, that she knows will be there for her no matter what. Pretty amazing. That's a great lesson. Right there. She said, "It lets me work at my goals and believe in myself. That's my favorite part." So pretty cool story there that I'll post for you, just for you, so you can check it out. Show it to your friends. Say, look, there are great things going on. People actually believe that is our duty to help people in need. I love that. That is pretty cool, isn't it? Can you imagine such a radical thought? Oh, wait a minute. The teachings of Jesus. Yes, exactly. Wow. Well, where would we be without that? Amazing. Sometimes I do a little sarcastic humor. It doesn't kind of come across all that great.
A great way to start your day. The Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Look, I'm a frequent coffee drinker. I'm part of the club. I have a card.
The Sound of Life.
I cannot let St. Patrick go. I know it was 17th is the anniversary of when he died. All right? Back in those days, and we're talking about the 4th century he was born. The 300s lived well into the 400s, and you probably realize that he was taken as a captive. They were living under Roman occupation, and when he was 16, he and his family were spending time. I guess they had a holiday villa by the sea. I didn't know all this. It was amazing. And then they were attacked simply because the Romans had to pull a lot, or maybe all, of their soldiers out to go fight somewhere else. This is getting to be bad times for the Roman Empire. They were defending themselves on a lot of different fronts and stuff, and it left them vulnerable. The family survived. They were Irish pirates. The captives were taken to Ireland. Patrick was actually sold as a slave to a Druid tribal chieftain, which I did not know until a few days ago. Of course, he was forced to work as a herdsman. You probably realize that. For 6 years, he was out pretty much by himself, him and the animals. But he was in all this weather. Imagine being outside in this weather all the time. But he really prayed all the time. He had grown up going to church, but he had not made God his own. He had not fallen in love with Jesus and not have a relationship. But over those next 6 years, he did. And it empowered him in such an incredible, miraculous way, according to him. Because he kept records of it. One night, he had a dream. He heard a voice telling him, "Soon you will be returning to your own country." Then he had another dream that showed him there was going to be a ship waiting for him. And so he journeyed. He just turned on his feet and turned, right, at the age of 22. He had to travel 200 miles to the coast of Ireland. And he saw the boat. And when he approached one of the men on the ship and asked to board, the seaman scowled at him. And as Patrick started to leave, the man called him back, saying that the others wanted him on board. And Patrick wrote, "In spite of this, I still hope that they might come to have faith in Jesus Christ." Amazing. The boat journey was long, including a stop where they journeyed on land for 28 days. Imagine being in the middle of that. Now, why do God adventures have that in them? It seems like they always do. you know, it's like, okay, I didn't sign up for this. Now I might as well just go back to the chief's house, you know, and be a slave and stuff. But he kept going. They ran out of food. The captain turned to Patrick and challenged him to ask his God for more. Do you know that ever happened with Patrick? St. Patrick. It's the guy that, you know, in the green and the, you know how St. Patrick's Day looks in our culture. Well, this is the person. This is what happened. He said, glad to oblige. Patrick responded, trust. He said, He turned trustingly to the Lord. He said, who is my God, and put your faith in him with all your heart, because nothing is impossible to him. On this day, he will send us food sufficient for our journey, because for him, there is abundance everywhere. That is what he wrote, or that is in his autobiography. The men turned around, and there was a herd of pigs standing in front of them. They feasted for 2 days. You think they were thankful to God? Oh, you better believe it, they were. Pretty amazing. Just one of those little incidences that I'm finding out that happened to Patrick. And, you know, and then, of course, you see the way, at least in the culture here, what we think about is St. Patrick's Day. And here's this rich person. I mean, this person that was so full of the Spirit of God that he had the confidence to sit there and say that prayer. You turn to God, and he'll be, I mean, man, that is just so, I said, that is just like something you read in the Bible. This is pretty incredible. He's one of the powerful figures of the faith. Pretty cool.
The Sound of Life.
I have a photograph in my phone. It's of a scene from the movie The Shining with Jack Nicholson, which when I was in the theater, I think when he hatcheted his way through the bathroom door, I laughed, because Jack Nicholson is funny to me. And he wasn't very funny in that movie. He wasn't supposed to be anyway. But there's a scene where they're riding along. He always has that look on his face. And his wife is there on the passenger side. And his son is, looks like his son might be saying something or yelling something or whatever. Anyway, you're supposed to put the caption underneath, you know, what could a few months of being with your family and what could go wrong? You know, and of course, if you know the movie, you know, a lot of things can go wrong. But this was a thought, or is a thought, and it's pretty powerful. So just take a deep breath right here. It's like 30 seconds worth. When this is over, may we never again take for granted a handshake with a stranger, full shelves at the store, conversation with neighbors, a crowded theater, Friday night out, the taste of communion, a routine checkup, the school rush each morning, coffee with a friend, the stadium roaring, each deep breath. Ooh, appreciate that already. A boring Tuesday or a boring Thursday, a boring, cloudy, rainy, cold Thursday when spring begins. When this is over, may we never again take for granted life itself. When this ends, may we find that we have become more like the people we wanted to be, we were called to be, we hoped to be. And may we stay that way, better for each other because of the worst. You know, we spend most of our lives trying to avoid the things that cause us to grow closer to God. This one, God said, is unavoidable.
The Sound of Life.
Did you know that there's scientific reason spring is the most delightful season? I will say that I thoroughly enjoyed spring. Down south, people pretty much did. I mean, in North Carolina, where it really hit like the end of March, 1st of April. I mean, the temps would be, I mean, it wasn't unusual to have like 80 first week in April, and 70s, you know. And of course, people in Florida love it because the humidity hasn't rolled in yet. Kind of changes the mood a little bit, but dogwoods are in bloom. The dogwoods are just fabulous. I just love that tree because it just looks so, I don't know the right word to say, it just the way it spreads out and is discombobulated. You know, when you're looking at it in the winter, you just like, that is just a weird looking tree. But then in your yard, because of the way it is, when those big white blossom flowers come on it, it is just incredible. And then you got those little pink azaleas on the bottom, you know, and stuff. I mean, it's just, I've seen some yards that just blow your mind. You stop in traffic And look at the beauty of them. It's incredible. Anyway, I digress. That's not scientific, is it? No. But, I mean, everybody's a fan, you know, like, oh, I love winter. I like the snow and everything like that. But, no, you know, temperatures are moderate. And let's face it, who doesn't enjoy when you got your windows open and the air is warm and, you know, it's just an amazing feeling, you know? You know what it's like to get on the plane here in January when it's 6 and you get down to wherever you're going, pick one, you know, south of Miami, somewhere in the Caribbean, you know, if you go there. And when that door opens and that humidity goes in, you know, it just, people just come alive. It's like, whoa, yeah, here we go. You know, the kind of thing, that's kind of the way it is. Mild temperatures. Research, my friend. That's kind of the way it is. Yes, we need a ticket. There's more daylight, of course. Realize that. That is actually beneficial. It is also makes it safer. It does. Absolutely. All this is scientifically proven. Did I say the birds return? Oh, man, yeah. Now, in my yard where we are now, we have very hardy birds, and we do have woodpeckers, and I really like them. I really enjoy them, and so I make sure I have the suet out for them hanging right by the window there. I can look right out from the window and see that. But they're good. They're hardy, man. They go through. And I, you know, their attitude is like, you know, the winter weather's not driving me away, but they must be loving it right now. So we'll see what happens as it gets warmer. You know, I've got some other food hanging out there too, but so far nobody's been interested in it. And did I say that there are baby animals everywhere? That happens here at the Sound of Life too, because we have rabbits here. Not by choice or anything. I just decided to live here. And every year, here they are, you know, bigger family, jumping around all over the place. But on farms and such, it is a very exciting time. Because of the daylight, I said you're safer, you go outside, people are already doing that, the neighborhood taking advantage of that, because we know here in the Northeast, kids are tough. They get out there, you know, there's no snow, they don't have to shovel the driveway off to play basketball, they're pretty cool. Did you know that all this stuff about spring that I've been talking about, according to a university study, spending time outside in the sunny weather, it's a good mood booster, but that's not it. It actually can change the way you think. That's right. They've done the research on it, of course. They research everything. And they found that being outside will broaden your mind, right? You're more open to new information, creative thoughts. He did it in the winter and in the summer as well, too, for, 6 years, I think, talking about Patrick, St. Patrick, as a slave, really, in what is now Ireland. And he was outside all the time, and all that weather, daylight today, it's tough. But, you know, he got to know God so well by being out there and talking to God that he said, I didn't even pay any attention to the weather. Didn't matter what it was. Freezing cold, whatever. It's amazing. And there is something special about being outside. I remember there was a time when I worked outside. You never get sick. It dawned on me. You just, because you're in God's creation. I don't know. It's just, anyway. when the leaves and the trees and the flowers and all that starts growing, you know, growing plants absorb the carbon dioxide. That's a good thing. Fresh produce, awesome thing. Flowers in bloom. Just the beauty, the eye beauty of it, the smell of it. Amazing. And then you kind of learn to smell the earthy farm tones. I mean, it's kind of amazing stuff like that. It's really pretty amazing. Opening your windows to your house, you know, you get your vitamins naturally. Anyway, all that stuff is just an amazing scientific reasons why this is the season we're moving into. So I'm giving a little bit of extra hope. I probably wouldn't have done this if it hadn't been for the season that we're going through right now.
The Sound of Life.
Well, you know, a lot of talk about and a lot of really prayer and anger and things about California's homeless problem. It's a disaster, really. It's huge. And it's been that way for years. And the governor really recently made a speech about the state's homeless problem. And a 15-year-old heard it and was thinking different thoughts than I was, honestly. She said, I've got an idea. Her name is Shavi Shah, 15 years old. So she recruited her fellow Honor Society members. So she's smart, okay, at the high school there. and they assembled kits. You know what they were in? What was in the kit? What do you think is in the kit? Now, this is just recently, in the last few days, she did this. Hand sanitizer. Amazing she got all done. Antibacterial soap, lotion, reusable mask. And she did it for distribution to help people experiencing homelessness in the middle of this pandemic. And she said, you know, we should step up and help people where we see a need. And she saw that. She started a GoFundMe to get others involved and recently delivered more than 150 of these low-cost sanitation kits to three Los Angeles shelters. So, you know, she's getting it done, and she's recruited others. I'd be in on that. I'd say, yeah, oh, absolutely. People, this thing's going to explode, I have a feeling. She has a wonderful person, and you can see it in her eyes when you see the photograph of her. She's hoping that her actions will encourage others, that means you know, to step up in their own ways during this pandemic. It's important for people to step in, just do whatever they can, even if it helps just one person. Wow. And, of course, as you might suspect, she's no stranger to community service. I mean, you know, I mean, 15, she's been around and a lot of stuff. Last year, she raised thousands of dollars for a homeless shelter through a dance recital. That was her idea as well. Her duty to help people experiencing homelessness comes from a feeling of gratitude. Now, I don't think she's been there herself, but she said, imagine yourself in their shoes. It's hard to do, isn't it? Without a house, without clothes, without any sanitation. Usually you have to go through a process where you voluntarily are. Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, okay, said nobody. Are. Well, a couple of people on radio did it. It's amazing. Change of life. I was not one of them, but amazing. It'll make you be grateful for what you have and possibly donate and do something good for other people. And thank you to 15-year-olds. Like her that are, you know, stepping up and actually making a difference and helping out where they can. She took that part where God said, love your neighbor. You know, she didn't fire back, well, who's my neighbor? She knows who her neighbor is, and she knows the way she can help. It's pretty cool.
The Sound of Life.
If I had to pick a last name, I probably would pick Hunter. It's just right, isn't it? Mainly because it's mine, I guess. You know, it's the one you got, right? I know people that live in certain places of the country, and they like it. They're like, this is the best place ever. I mean, yeah, sure, you know, we get tornadoes, but they're just so, the chances are very slim. Or yeah, every once in a while, you know, we get a blizzard, but it's always something. Yeah, you know, it's 130 in the summer, but, I mean, we got air conditioning, thank God, and all that. Whatever. But if I had to pick another last name, I think I would pick Puffenberger. That has such a ring to it. I'm sorry, Chloe. Chloe's a nice name, too. Chloe Puffenberger. And you're probably just barely in your 30s. But you're really smart. God bless you. You know, because you realize that we've got kids that are sitting around looking for something to do. And to be creative and to create is probably the best thing they could do. Besides getting out in nature, you know, and getting all skinned up and looking at bugs and stuff. Anyway. But Chloe Puffenberger did a list. She wrote it out by hand. It is printed, of course, like I would do it. But she said, here is a list of local nursing homes. And she asked any student and others in the area where she lived who would like to make and send cards letting people in the nursing homes know that we are thinking of them. Right? And what you do is you send it to this nursing home and you put attention activities director. There you go. It kind of goes along with a wonderful, wonderful little news article about residential and retirement places all across the country, of course, are limiting visitations. I mean, if there's ever going to be a place, you know, you don't want that to happen. So they're more isolated now than they were before. But people are answering the call, and maybe it's one of the little hidden, incredible blessings in this. A silver lining, if you will. People said, you know, there's always that silver lining in that gray cloud. Well, here it is, right here. People are answering the call to brighten residents' days with cards. If your children's schools are, if they're closed, of course they're closed. And they're looking for something to keep them busy. That's just a given right there. How about getting them the right letters and color pictures and send to the residents, right? That was a Facebook post that she did. And it was actually the Facebook post was from St. Anthony's Nursing Rehabilitation Center. Other requests have gone out from other places around. They are the home to people who have seen a lot, lived through a lot. And right now they're being protected, but it is isolating them more than they were normally. So what a bright light it would be. What an incredible encouragement letter it would be, right? Anyway, I just had some pretty emotional thoughts about doing that and some things that I know and stuff. And usually the thoughts are, boy, I don't do that enough. You know, sending thank you and I'm thinking about you cards is a lot like prayer. You know, do you do it? I don't do it nearly enough. Don't we all say that?
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.